Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Beat. We have a fantastic show ahead for you. We're going to kick things off right today with the a member of the HRC Nevada branch. Nevada did something really fantastic on Election Day. They became the first state in the entire country to put protections for the LGBTQ community as far as marriage goes in their constitution. Nobody else has done it yet.
Oh, yeah.
California hasn't done it. New York hasn't done it. We're usually the leaders on things like that. But your home state of Nevada.
I've never been more proud, and I would honestly like to take all the credit. I think it's because of me that they did that.
Well, we've got a couple members of their human rights campaign in Nevada on the show in 15 minutes talking about how important that was and why it was important to them. So stick around for that conversation.
LaToya Holman is amazing. I've known her for a long time. She's one of the women that's joining us. And, you know, it's been a fight for a really, really long time. They've been working at it for a couple of years, and it's so satisfying to see all their hard work.
Absolutely. Also, we've got our Red, White, and Q segment today. Talking about LGBTQ milestones in the election, because there were many of them to celebrate. Not quite the election that we'd hoped for. It's still ongoing, whether it is or not, that's to be determined. But we have some things to celebrate. Also, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Remember her? The best. You have the audio, Justin.
Let's just
remind our listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
Listen, I'm not.
I have to tell you.
Adderall, cocaine, I'm just making a joke here. It's an allegation. I have no evidence. However, there's something going on with that lady.
Listen, Lisa and I, she's been telling me, yesterday she told me something really great about our relationship, and I sent her the audio of Kimberly Guilfoyle, and I just feel like, as wild as she is, the way that she screams the best is yet to come, fulfilling.
Well, the way that she raises money actually is even better. Apparently there are hot tubs involved in her fundraising efforts.
This is so on brand for them, though.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
So make sure you stick around for that conversation. Our next hour. Also, it is Veterans Day, and we've got a good friend of the show rejoining us. He was on a few months ago, Denny Meyer. He is from the American Veterans for Equal Rights, and he's calling in again. This man is an icon to me. We talked to him. What did we talk to him? Probably 4 months ago, 5 months ago at the beginning of the pandemic, I believe.
Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah, gosh. May. Well, there you go. Well, he's our one veteran. We keep calling him again. He's an LGBTQ member of the community and also a veteran. And it's just a lot of really wonderful insight. He's going to be calling into the Morning
Absolutely.
Beat today as we celebrate Veterans Day. We celebrate every one of you listening who is a veteran or maybe has a veteran in their family. We just want to take a moment to say thank you.
Yeah.
Michaela Gordon, how about we take a moment for News on the Beat?
You got it, babe. All right, it looks like most of Obamacare might remain intact. After all, the Supreme Court appeared poised to reject the latest Republican-backed attempt to kill the landmark health reform law based on the justices' tone during oral arguments. Now, Chief Justice John Roberts, who famously saved the ACA in 2012, and Justice Brett Kavanaugh suggested that it wasn't the Supreme Court's place to invalidate the entire law. It's the third time the court has heard a significant challenge to the law, and it seems like Roberts is so over it.
I think it's hard for you to argue that Congress intended the entire act to fall if the mandate were struck down when the same Congress that lowered the penalty to zero did not even try to repeal the rest of the act. I think, frankly, that they wanted the court to do that, but that's not our job.
Now, about 20 million people have gained coverage on the Affordable Care Act exchanges and through the expansion of Medicaid to low-income adults. President Trump's Oh, and that's the end of the story. Thank you. And that's all.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
She saw President Trump. She's like, I don't want to read anymore.
And I'm done. Let's get into weather. It's going to be nice out today. It was a little chilly. You know, I have to do my workouts outside, and I'm such a Vegas girl.
Okay, also, all of us have to do our workouts outside. We're in a pandemic.
First of all, your tone is aggressive. Secondly, you're right. It's going to be a high of 72 in New York, a high of 70 in LA. It's 46 in LA right now. That's cold for LA.
Yeah, it's very cold.
It's going to be a high of 63 in Vegas.
Ew.
Gross. It's 39 right now.
You just said gross.
Gross. It's going to be... It's going to be a high of 73 in Palm Springs and a high of 84 in Houston. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate.
Yeah.
Choose one.
All right. Well, after Nevada is the first state to pass same-sex marriage in their constitution, we wanted to invite the political director for HRC Nevada to discuss the work we still must continue to do coming up in 2 minutes.
It's time once again this morning for our checking in segment where Michaela and I literally check in on each other and share what we're going through, what we're feeling, what we're thinking, in hopes that maybe it'll help you too.
Yeah.
Because we're all sort of going through some of the similar stuff right now as we see numbers go up again. I know down in San Diego here in Southern California, they just went to another tier of COVID again. They went back to the purple tier, which means some lockdowns again, some things are being restricted once again. Well, it could be happening all over the country here in the next few weeks as we head into the holidays. But how are you feeling about it all? Are you prepared?
You know, I'm prepared for whatever. I've literally had to get myself so mentally ready. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of different things to keep my spirits up. As you know, I'm like super into sketches and comedy and writing. Working out has been a big thing for me. But yesterday, I wanted to do a little self-care that involves you. So I went to the gym. I got home. I took an Epsom salt bath. I got into my grandma's robe. Hello, Vivian in heaven. I sat down. And then I started continuing flipping the script, which is the book that you wrote.
Yeah.
And I like to take each chapter, not only because I know you, but sometimes when I read a book, I'll only do one chapter and then like think about it so I can really get, you know, the book. Because sometimes you notice if you ever sometimes read and then it doesn't stick in your head.
Yeah.
So yesterday, now I'm on chapter 5 of Flipping the Script, and this is not a promo for AJ's book, but it was very important to me. Chapter 5 was really, really relevant to me. And if you haven't gotten the chance, I do suggest going to Amazon. But it was about words carrying weight and sort of self
worth. Wait, I wrote that?
Worth. You wrote this.
Sometimes I forget.
You wrote it. It was incredible. And, you know, ways that we sabotage and, you know, things that people have said to us in the past that we didn't even know play such a part in our own narrative later on in life. And so I've been really like meditating on those words. And there's a little great exercise that you make people do in the book where you rewrite your own script. And I felt like it was it was such a good message for me. And also remembering like the things that I say carry weight, but also we have to take responsibility as people as to how we hear what people are saying.
And receive it and allow it to impact our lives. It's so true. It's wild to me. And I'm giving my first keynote in 8 months today after the show, which I'm super excited.
Tell them about the internet.
We're doing it virtually. And I kicked out. So I kicked the box, my AT&T box last night. So how I'm coping with this pandemic is we're redoing our whole home. We renovated both bathrooms. We did our kitchen.
It's gorge, by the way.
So I was wallpapering last night in my living room. We're doing this wall behind our entertainment center. It's gorgeous. Love it. I'm so super excited about it. But I was back there and I had a couple glasses of wine while I did some wallpapering and I kicked the AT&T box and knocked out my internet. And I have to give my first keynote in 8 months today.
Is Mercury still in retrograde?
From home without any internet. So we're like coming up with all these solutions, trying to figure it all out. And we both had a little bit of wine and AT&T can't get there, of course, by this morning. So I'm going to try to use my hotspot off my phone.
It works though.
It does work. I'm nervous because if that goes down, there's no plan B. Like, this is plan B.
And this is a live talk that you're giving.
Yes.
In honor of your book.
Well, I've done part of the talk, but I have to do this whole Q&A with the people. So it's kind of like partially real and partially pre-recorded. It's a whole, like a mix. But and I'm going to be trying to obviously encourage people to, you know, pick up my book. But So yeah, and I feel that the people I'm going to be talking to today, they're by and large women, and they're going to be probably in the same boat as you. I feel like they think a lot like you. So
oh
excited.
Yeah, Justin. No, it's going to be great.
AJ, I got an idea. Oh, just gosh. In case there's a hotspot issue, what you could do, and you know who has internet, this one over here.
Oh my gosh, Michaela, I'm not going to Michaela.
Oh my god, come to my house.
No, I thought about this.
Oh my god, come to my house. I will totally cheer you on. I will be a live audience member.
She lives in the cutest little cabin in the world. It's like 500-600 square feet, and it's her, Lisa, and two dogs. Those dogs, Rocco.
What do you mean? They would cheer for you. Rocco loves you.
I know. I would be too nervous, too.
You know what also would happen? She would just be looking over your shoulder at the Zoom
entire
time.
I'm like, get out of here.
Hey, you know, when I read chapter 5.
Yeah, she would be in the background crying. Oh my gosh, you guys, this really works. I'm doing it. Just try it.
I know, but it makes me so emotional. Listen, I sob through your book, even through the good parts. I feel like I get so emotional.
Well, you write me full paragraphs every time you read a chapter, and I show Emil every time, my partner. And I'm like, oh, I forgot I wrote that. Because the book came out 2 years ago, and I haven't read
it
in a couple of years.
It's so good, though. Yeah. It's so good. Also, there's a whole chapter about this white chair that AJ needed in order to write this book.
Oh, the perfect desk chair. I remember that chapter.
Leads to literally Chairgate.
Our relationship almost did not survive Chairgate.
Yeah, it's such a good book. I'm telling you, we have a lot of time in this pandemic, and if we're going to be locked down again, I suggest reading this book. I love to read anyway, and not because... Obviously, I adore you. It's just a really great book with really super kindergarten lessons. It's not the fancy talk.
Can I tell you
one quick story
before we go?
Yeah.
So a long time ago when the book came out, a couple years ago, I did Heather McDonald's podcast, Juicy Scoop, where she usually talks about celebrity stuff, but we promoted my book. We talked about the book. The book now has 113, I think I checked yesterday, reviews.
Yes.
112 five-star reviews on Amazon, 112, and one one-star review by a woman. I can't remember her. Margo.
Oh,
you always remember the one. And she said, this is not the book I expected.
What?
If I wanted to read a book written at a first grade reading level, I was like, what? So talking about like how one person's words can stick with you. I don't remember the other 112 reviews that were five star.
Margo, shut up. I love kindergarten books. Listen, I just need it to resonate with me. I don't need all that fancy
stuff. Honey,
talk.
Make it a coloring book. I don't care.
I only learned what efficacy?
Just
efficacy? What's the word?
Efficacy.
Efficacy.
Goodbye.
All right, I guess we're still learning. Efficacy. What does it mean again?
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for my favorite segment of the day. You know why, Michaela?
Tell me why, babe.
Because it's yours. And I love pop culture. What's going on and what's popping?
Okay, well, we covered yesterday that Johnny Depp finally settled his case with Amber Heard, and that case was so messy. There was talks of abuse and drugs and alcohol.
In both directions.
Yeah. And even, what is it, defecation?
Defamation?
No, what is it when you go to the bathroom?
Oh, defecation.
Defecation. There was like, it was nasty. Remember all those things? It was just like details were horrendous. So, unfortunately, Fantastic Beasts franchise, which Johnny Depp was starring in, got paid $10 million. After filming one scene, they let him go. They're still paying him. But I don't know if it's because just of all of the drama surrounding him. They
don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
He did one day of filming. And that's it.
And that's all.
$10 million.
So they have replaced his character. It's Mads Mikkelsen. Now, the news is coming just yesterday that people knew that this could be the replacement.
He's one of those faces that you probably know his face, but you probably don't know his name.
100%.
Unless you're our producer, Justin, who knew his name. I did not.
I literally had no idea.
But he's a pretty familiar face.
Yeah. So, well, there's a lot of fans actually are pushing still for them to hire Colin Farrell, who I do know by name.
Well, I thought Colin Farrell was already in the film, though, Justin.
He was, if you, spoiler alert for the first film, he was kind of the companion to the main character, but he turns out to be Grindelwald, and that's when he kind of face morphs into Johnny Depp.
Oh.
So he could essentially play it.
He could.
That's
what
weird.
What do you think about Mads? I feel like this is kind of your lane. What about Mads Mikkelsen? You think it's a good call?
I mean, he does a great villain. He was a Hannibal for many years on NBC, and then he was also in the latest Star Wars film. So, I mean, he has a good reputation for some solid projects, and
I say always go Benedict Cumberbatch. Why not?
Oh,
I feel like he could always play all of those roles.
I think he's a little busy with Doctor Strange.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, the third film is once again directed by longtime Harry Potter franchise veteran David Yates. It's based on a screenplay by author J.K. Rowling along with Steve Kloves, even though J.K. Rowling is
problematic.
So problematic. They're going to continue filming, though. Everything was obviously postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But honestly, I think that was better because imagine filming all of that with Johnny Depp and then firing him.
Listen, Fantastic Beasts, it's cute. I'm ready for them to reboot Harry Potter. Make eight more films. Bring back the original cast. I want that.
You know
I want a continuation. I love them.
You know what I live for?
What?
Harry Potter World at Universal Studios.
Oh, it's so good.
I love it.
Have you had the butterbeer?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's basically like frozen cream soda, kind of, but it's so delicious.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, I do want to tell you that this was brought to you by California Psychics. Thanks to California Psychics, I had an incredible read. As most of you know, I lost my grammar earlier this year and needed a lot of clarity, and that is what they gave me, whether it's dating advice or finances. Head on over to californiapsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app and set up an account today, starting at only $1 per minute for new customers. Totally worth it. Now, coming up, it is Wednesday, and for our Red, White, and Q segment, we have Samuel Garrett Pate joining us to talk about some of the most iconic LGBTQ moments that happened in the 2020 election and how it involves us. Coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, as always, on this beautiful Wednesday. It's kind of chilly here in Southern California all of a sudden.
Oh, my God. It's so cold. I hate it.
I've worn a sweatshirt and a jacket the last couple of days, although I will say I kind of love sweater weather.
I will say that I love sweater weather because it is such a vibe. I'm such a coat girl. I love, like, turtleneck, coat,
she said
heels.
Coat. She said coat with a T.
What is it?
I'm such a Coke girl. I'm like a Coke girl. That sounds problematic and oddly.
Is that Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Yes. Oddly. Do you have your
Justin,
mask on,
why
Justin?
Why do you have your mask on if you're going to talk into the microphone?
Okay, so here's what's happening.
You stress me out,
so
Justin.
So I'm trying to learn how to do this board. I'm trying to learn to do Justin's job because if God forbid anything happen, we're down a producer. What do we do? So I'm trying to become like technical. So he's on my spot. I'm on his. But we're switching around in the room. We have plexiglass everywhere and we wear masks as we pass each other. So Justin is wearing a mask.
To be fair, Justin will out of nowhere just put his mask on. Like and then talking to the mic, and I'm like, what's going on?
Well, I had to get 6 feet closer to Typhoid Mary over here, so
you,
I just want to make sure.
You literally walk next to me. You put on a show, Justin.
Do you remember, honey? If anybody knows
put
how
on
to
a
put
show.
If anybody knows how to put on a show, it's you.
Yeah, but I do a good one.
You're a showgirl.
Remember
early pandemic when Channel Q was like, "Hey guys, we're going to keep you safe, so we created these masks for you to wear," and they were the most poorly designed mask you ever. They were
I could make a bikini out of mine.
They were made of silk.
You didn't.
And you had there were multiple tie strings. I was like, "Well, how do we even put these things on? I don't know what to do with this." Oh, how we've evolved.
It was wild.
And now I'm getting, you know what kind of mask we get?
What?
Because Emil and I, we go to Barry's Boot Camp Outdoors.
Oh my God, I love
it's
your
amazing.
Masks.
Yeah, so we get black. So those, you know those little light blue surgical ones that everybody wears?
Oh yeah.
We found them online on Amazon. They make black ones that match your outfits.
Well, I am obsessed because we went to dinner a few weeks ago, you and I, and you gave me a mask because naturally I forgot mine because I need one more thing to remember.
Uh-huh.
And you had them by the clothes.
I had them by the...
By the downy?
The downy sheets or the
fabric
softener.
Oh my God,
softener.
It still smells
they
like
smell
fabric.
Amazing.
And so that's a little pro tip.
Well, because you know, you absolutely store them by your fabric sheets because mask mouth is real and mask breath is real.
God, I
so
know.
You know what else is real?
What?
News on the Beat. Take it away.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. Well, let me find what I'm going to talk about. This story is actually very interesting. The late Pope John Paul II was warned about allegations of sexual impropriety by Theodore McCarrick, but was promoted to Archbishop of Washington anyway, amid his own denials.
You're a raised Catholic. It's Archbishop. Bishop. Wow.
What
I
is
can't
it?
Say it?
What is it?
Archbishop.
Don't ever try it again.
Archbishop, like an
Stay
archangel.
An archangel, Michael. Okay, and his own denials and an inaccurate American bishop's inquiry, an internal Vatican investigation concluded. Now, the report follows 2 years of investigation and years of scrutiny over how McCarrick was allowed to rise through the hierarchy. McCarrick last year became the highest-ranking church figure to be defrocked over sexual abuse after a church trial found him guilty of sexually abusing minors. His attorney declined to comment, but the report largely seems to absolve the current Pope Francis of his blame. I'll tell you you what, I got stuck on a plane, and sometimes that's the best place to watch a movie that you would never watch. Mm-hmm. And so I watched, what is it, Spotlight, Justin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And that really introduced me so deeply into the abuse.
The Catholic Church, the sex scandal. Yeah, I had to watch that. I watch every single nominated film every year because I host the Golden Globes red carpet, and that was one of them a couple years ago. And
ooh. It was so intense.
And I was a Catholic schoolboy, too, so I related to a lot of those stories. I talk about it, actually, in my book a little bit, like the weirdness of that era.
Yeah. I think that I was a little bit, it was different. I was a girl, and even though I was an altar girl, I didn't experience any of that. you guys don't know what I'm looking at right now, but as AJ's running the board, he just gave me the signal that I need to start going into weather. That was good, babe. Way to time me out.
I learned that signal in school years ago.
You've really impressed me.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get into weather. It's going to be a high of 55 today in Kansas City, 82 in Miami, 57 in San Francisco, and 70 in Phoenix. Now hit us with the vibe of the day.
Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate.
Love that. All right, you guys, well, coming up in Red, White, and Q, we are talking about the most iconic LGBTQ moments that happened in the 2020 election with our very own Samuel Garrett Pate. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's such an honor to be able to be here and speak truthfully, honestly, and from my heart. I know what my father believes in. Prior to politics, he supported gays, lesbians, the LGBTQIA plus community.
Did he? But did he, though?
I honestly just feel bad that, like, Tiffany is the like, last person he calls, the last person that's involved in anything he does.
He makes the calculation in his mind, in his pea-sized mind, a week before the election, or maybe two. Huh, maybe we get some gay votes. Tiffany, go talk to him.
Yeah, how is Tiffany the one that's... Because, like, Marla is probably the most, like, hippy-dippy. She'd be the one that makes the most sense.
Well, right. He's like, well, you're kind of young, and gay people are young, right? There aren't old gay people. It's a fairly new thing. They just started creating them, so there's that.
He's like, you live in L.A. Your mom lives sort of close to West Hollywood. You know what? Make it happen.
We could do this all day, but we're not going to do that because it is time for Red, White, and Q with Samuel Garrett Pate, our political expert from Equality California. And
Silver State Equality as well.
Your home state, Nevada, as well, he works with. And we've got some things to celebrate in the LGBTQ plus community post-election day. Sam, what do you got for us?
Well, we've got a lot to celebrate. You know, we saw Sarah McBride elected as the first openly trans senator in Delaware. You know, we saw more trans legislators elected all across the country. Than we had, I believe, doubling the number of trans legislators in the country. We here in California, where we are, we had Todd Gloria elected the first openly gay mayor of San Diego, which is not just California's second biggest city, but is the eighth biggest city in the country. Mm. So, you know, really up and down the ticket, some really exciting victories for the LGBTQ community, in addition to, obviously, the top of the ticket replacing the most anti-LGBTQ president in modern history.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you gotta remember, too, Joe Biden got out in front of Barack Obama. I'm sure that didn't really thrill President Obama at the time, but he got out in front of him and supported gay marriage before Barack Obama did years ago, kind of slipped up and let that one out. But in addition to the electoral wins, I mean, just the importance of seeing Pete Buttigieg campaign and do well and to actually win a state, to kiss his husband, Chastain, on stage.
God, it was amazing.
I remember that was a big moment for me. Also, when Joe Biden got out there the other night on that stage to accept and, you know, declare like victory, to actually mention the community and trans members of our community, I think that's a really big deal.
I mean, he shared a personal moment with a mother of a young trans kid. That's a big deal. We have some of that audio.
The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination. And what's happening is too many transgender women of color are being murdered. I promise you, there is no reason to suggest that there should be any right denied your daughter or daughters, whichever, one or two.
One.
Your daughter, that your other daughter has a right to be and do. None. Zero.
I think the way that he speaks so comfortably about something like this that's controversial for many people. He also mentioned at one point, he's like, I believe 17 trans women have been killed this year. Women of color.
Very specific.
And when you look at the population of the United States, 17 might not seem like a big number. But if you're a member of our community, that is a huge number, and he took the time to talk about it.
Well, and you know, I mentioned Sarah before, but Sarah McBride from Delaware, she's, you know, now to become the first openly trans senator, state senator in the country, you know, was very close friends and worked closely with Beau Biden when he was alive. She's, you know, her family is family friends with the Bidens. And so, you know, Joe Biden knew her before her transition and knew her during her transition. And you know, their family experienced that. And, you know, she's spoken repeatedly about how supportive and you know, she transitioned, I believe, after Beau had passed. But, you know, I mean, it's personal for him, right? Like these are personal things for him. I mean, Danica Rome, who we know is a out trans state legislator in Virginia, went to Beau's funeral and thanked then Vice President Biden for Beau's strong support of trans civil rights legislation in Delaware. And, you know, as she tells the story, Joe Biden, you know, put his hands on her shoulders and looked her in the eye and said, you know, we mean that. Oh. We mean that, you know, this is personal. This fight is personal for him. When he left the White House, he started his family foundation with Dr. Biden, and LGBTQ equality was one of their, you know, top, I think, three or four priority issues. Right. And this entire field of candidates running for the Democratic nomination was collectively the most pro-equality field we've ever had running for a major party nomination. And Joe Biden's plan for LGBTQ equality, which is now obviously the Biden-Harris plan, is, you know, by far, far and away.
Well, listen,
the most pro-equality plan that a major party candidate and now president-elect has ever had.
Well, there's a plan that's also happening on the right side. And honestly, it is a pro plan to me because Kimberly Guilfoyle is offering lap dances and hot tub time if you're willing to bid at a high enough number. Something I've never heard in my life. I can talk about it, but we want to hear from you as well, Samuel Garrett-Pate. Stick with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
It sure is. That's right, Kimberly Guilfoyle. The best is yet to come under a Biden-Harris presidency. Joining us once again, Samuel Garrett-Pate, our dear friend and political expert who got us through this election season. I can't even tell you how many times I text him.
Listen,
in a
phone
panic.
Calls, texts, Lisa's Armenian mother making me text him to find more answers. I mean, he's a part of our family.
So thanks for being here, of course. So, Kimberly.
Happy to.
Kimberly. She's offering hot tub sessions.
Listen to me. I do sketches as Melania all the time. And in a sketch, this sounds brilliant. But she's 100% serious with the lap dances and hot tubs. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Oh, come on, Pony.
So, yeah, I mean, so Kimberly Guilfoyle is Don Jr.'s girlfriend. She's a former Fox News host. She actually used to be married to California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Wild.
Lifetimes ago. Lifetimes
ago. Oh, how things have changed. And
here's more. She was at the San Francisco District Attorney's office at the same time that Kamala was back years and years and years ago before she ended up going to the East Coast to be on Fox News.
Let's
so,
just say,
anyway.
Well, let's call it what it is, before she ended up going to the dark side. Just say it.
Lifetimes ago. But here's the thing. You know, we joke about the lap dancing and it's weird.
And it's weird.
There have also been allegations that she and Don Jr. have made, you know, explicitly sexual comments at GOP fundraisers to the point that, you know, donors were uncomfortable and spoke out about that. I mean, she also has numerous sexual harassment allegations from her time at Fox News. You know, we like to think of Fox News as like this old boys club of, you know, creepy old men running around sexually harassing people. And obviously they've had countless scandals over the years. But it wasn't just men. Kimberly Guilfoyle has been credibly accused multiple times of sexually harassing people while at Fox News. And this is someone who, you know, just yesterday we heard reports from CNN that Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle were making a play at taking over the RNC, that they were unhappy with Ronna McDaniel, the chair of the RNC, and felt that she wasn't fighting hard enough for their dad or for Don Jr.'s dad. And so they are making, you know, according to CNN, they are making a play at taking over the RNC. They've denied it, but, you know, we can't take anyone in the Trump family's word at face value anymore. So
and anymore.
You know what's infuriating to me? I've been seeing a lot, and we knew it was going to come, that people on the right side are trying to accuse Kamala Harris of sleeping her way to the top. They're doing anything they can to start spreading those rumors.
My mom asked me about that the other day. Yeah. She said, I hear this from everybody. Is there any truth to this?
But then we're just fine, quote unquote, joking about having sex to bid higher and watching everybody that she's clearly dated to have more of a power position. It just angers me that what they find is so funny is also the thing that they'll accuse other candidates of in a demeaning way.
I don't want to get into a game of accusing anyone of, you know, having any sort of intimate relationship for a power play or to get, I mean, if she loves Don Jr., more power to her. I don't know how she does it, but you know, more power to her. I think the more concerning thing is, right, I don't agree with the people who work at the RNC, but I also don't think anyone should be subjected to sexual harassment. And the idea that she is looking to enter into a, you know, very powerful role potentially at the RNC where, you know, young people who believe in the cause go to work every day after, again, being credibly accused repeatedly of sexually harassing subordinates while at Fox News. I think that's concerning, right? We don't have to agree with people who work at the RNC to believe that they shouldn't be subjected to sexual harassment at work.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much, Samuel Garrett, for stopping by.
Appreciate you so much. We hope that you have an amazing rest of your week and that we just continue getting great news. Now, coming up, Britney Spears is speaking on behalf Britney Spears' attorney is speaking on behalf of the pop star. And what she has to say in regards to her father could leave us in a world with no more Britney Spears. We have all of those details coming up in What's Poppin'.
It's time again for What's Poppin' with Michaela Gordon, brought to you by California Psychics. I want to tell you a Britney Spears story, because that's who you're talking about today in What's Poppin'. And I'm not a psychic. I did not see this one coming. A few years ago, I hosted the red carpet for the Billboard Music Awards in Las Vegas. Who had a residency in Las Vegas at the time? Britney Spears. She was at Planet Hollywood, I believe. So, she was the big headliner. She was opening the show. I've never seen Britney perform live. I had the opportunity to see her in that show for free, front row.
Incredible.
With Laura Morano and her manager. I said, I'm flying in kind of late. I don't know if I want to make it. I didn't know the tickets were free. I didn't know they were front row. I didn't know it was VIP the entire way. I said, yeah, oh no. Turns out my flight got in time. I could have made it just in time. They went and saw her front row. So I was like, oh, it's okay. At least tomorrow after we do our red carpet, I'll get to go into the arena where I usually get front row tickets to the Billboard Music Awards. Literally, I sat four seats from Rihanna a couple years ago. Pretty dope stuff. And I'll watch Britney Spears there. She's performing on a big guitar.
I have 2 minutes to do my What's
Poppin'. I don't care. So, our bosses at Dick Clark Productions decided they wanted to take the opportunity to do a group photo instead of going right into the show. So I missed the opening number and didn't get to see Britney Spears there either. I did see her once in concert like 15 years ago. But anyways, what's poppin'?
You're wild.
I'm still bitter about it.
You're so upset. And that was a long story.
She was my queen growing up.
Well, you're not going to see her again.
Well, don't tell me this.
It's over. Because she made a cryptic post on social media after her lawyers warned that she'd never perform again as long as she remains under the current terms of her conservatorship. The Baby One More Time singer asked a judge in Los Angeles to remove her father, Jamie, from her conservatorship, which has allowed him to control her finances and personal life since her public breakdown in 2008, with her lawyer saying she is afraid of him and they no longer speak. And she's saying, I'm done.
She's had 712 number ones, and you call her the Baby One More Time hit singer?
Listen, she's always going to be Baby One More Time to me. She was so hot in that Catholic school uniform.
Well, you know the guy that she was all over in the video is like her cousin. Did you know that? The guy that plays the male lead in her very first video, who she's like dancing for. Because she thinks she's so hot, it's like her cousin.
Stop. True you know story. What, though? Like, that feels, that also feels very, very 2000.
Yes, very Britney Spears. And very, like, Louisiana.
Louisiana. I honestly, I'm not, like, completely against it. Well, listen, I hope she figures this out. I sat next to her old manager a couple years ago, and I, what?
We don't have time for a long story.
Yeah, we do. We love it.
We don't have time for you on the mic, Justin. If you didn't interrupt me, I could have finished the story, but now it's just over. All right, coming up in our next hour, this is one of my favorite games, Hit It or Quit It, Hot Toddy or Irish Coffee, John King versus Steve Kornacki. We're talking about it coming up next. Oh,
come on. If this isn't the jolt of energy that we all
makes
needed.
Makes me so happy.
Halfway through a week.
We're so close.
But here's the thing. You know every time we play this, I do love it. But we're the only people in America who are halfway through our work week. Because even on the East Coast right now, it's like 11. Yeah. Ah, that's about halfway through their workday, almost.
Kind of. Yeah, it's time for lunch.
Yeah.
You know what it is. And it works for us. And you know what? The song just makes me so happy.
I can't stop looking at your hair. You put your hair in a messy bun all the time, and you have the biggest chunk of hair sticking straight up right now.
It's honestly, it's getting to a length now where it's starting to like make a fuller bun, also sticking up.
Are you looking in the plexiglass? Is that how you see yourself?
Yeah.
Because it looks like you're looking in a mirror. I'm like, how do you see yourself?
Oh my God, I love the plexiglass. Well, I look at it every day.
We have plexiglass all over the studio to help us stay safe as we socially distance, and Michaela uses that as an opportunity to look at herself. It's a mirror. Yes, Justin.
I just thought. She kind of looks like Cindy Lou Who.
You do look very Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, with the top bun.
The nose.
We talked about that yesterday. An unknown actress is going to be playing Cindy Lou Who in NBC Live's version of The Grinch, starring Matthew Morrison.
I'm
you broke
so
that
excited.
News yesterday in What's Poppin'. That is December 9th on NBC. I can't wait. I love their live performances.
I do too. And I love Christmas and I love The Grinch. I have to tell you, I was on my way to work this morning and I, gasp, was not listening to our station only because they've already started playing Christmas music.
Did you just reenact your gasp and also tell us it was a gasp at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
That's acting.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you. And there's a station in particular out here that plays Christmas music and I turned it on. I got in my car and it was The Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You're talking about the other place, Coast? You are, aren't you?
Yeah, don't say it out loud.
Ellen and I have the same manager.
Oh, okay.
She's
well,
great. Just don't
send
listen
her
to
my
her.
Best regards. Tell her thanks for playing Christmas music because I love it so much.
It is fantastic.
But you have to. I love Christmas music right now. It's been quite the year, and I'm here for
if
it.
If you want to be entertained and informed, you listen to us.
Yeah.
You want to listen to Christmas music? Go elsewhere.
We're actually talking about that this hour. Is it too early for Christmas decorations?
The answer is yes. There's our segment.
The answer is going to be a hard no.
Oh, wow. This is a segment.
I have thoughts.
So do we play Christmas music at all here during the holidays? I wasn't here last year at Christmas. Do we?
We have one song that we absolutely
Mariah
love to
Carey,
play.
Mariah Carey, of course.
Well, no, actually. It's one from the great Christina Aguilera that I'm sure Michaela will love to break out again.
I don't want to break it out. I hate it.
So
she oversings. It's terrible.
She
it's
oversings
a nightmare.
Everything.
Yeah, but this one in particular, oh my God. Justin, pull it up.
Can I tell you, though, that, okay, since we're going to talk about this, we're not really going to go full on Christmas just yet. However, obviously, Mariah Carey's Christmas album, the first one, is the best Christmas album of all time.
Obviously.
Got it.
Obviously.
You can't even argue it. Got it. I will say, though, that there's one that might be, if that were 1A, I have a 1B for you that's very, very close.
Well, I want you to hold on to this information, Justin. I want you to hold on to this song because our listeners will need you to tune in this hour because that is what we're discussing.
Fine. News on the beat. Be an adult.
Thank you very much. President Trump's refusal to concede the 2020 election continues with the support of top Republicans and others in his administration. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday would not acknowledge Joe Biden's victory, even as America's closest allies congratulated the president-elect.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration.
It was like, okay, what the arrogance and the absurdity in his voice is just so
too
gross.
Too much. It's annoying. Now, the Trump administration is also carrying out sweeping changes at the Defense Department. Four senior civilian officials have been fired or have resigned since Monday, and they've been replaced with people seen as loyal to Trump. The actions have raised alarms inside the Pentagon, with one defense official calling them dictator moves. Despite those efforts, Biden is moving ahead, announcing his transition teams.
Do you think they really believe that he's going to win? Do they actually believe
it? I think they do. I think you have to have that much
gall
belief in order to continue the insanity. All right, in other news, COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations in the U.S. are higher than ever before, and state leaders are urging residents to stay home. The nation is seeing a dangerous surge. Texas reaches the grim distinction of becoming the first state to hit 1 million cases, with California nearly there too. Yesterday marked 8 straight days that the country reported more than 100,000 new cases per day, and the total number of nationwide cases is more than 10 million. News that Pfizer's vaccine has been shown to be more than 90% effective has provided some hope, but now states are worried the distribution process won't go smoothly. Countries around the world are hitting new records, too. More than 50 million cases of COVID-19 have been recorded worldwide. Now let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 45 in Seattle today, a high of 77 in Atlanta, 70 in Baltimore with rain, and a high of 59 in Buffalo. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate.
Love
it's up to you
see
to choose.
It. Love to hear it. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Hot Toddy versus Irish Coffee, John King versus Steve Kornacki. Find out what we choose and hit it or quit it. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Sometimes on the show, we talk about politics. Sometimes we talk about pop culture. Every now and then on the show, the two collide. And they're going to, in one of our hit it or quit it questions
yes.
of the day, it's time for hit it or quit it. We took to social media. We're gonna leave the political one for a second.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
We'll start off with an easy one.
Great.
It's now full-on winter here in California. It is 65 degrees today. Freezing.
It's cold.
So cold.
I need a coat.
We both literally come into work wrapped up in sweaters and coats every day now because that's how we live in Southern California.
So we are.
So it's that time of year. We're not really big fans of the pumpkin spice latte thing. Not really our gag.
It's not who we are.
The weird orange coloring is strange to me. However, we do like a little bit of booze in our drinks.
Love booze.
Justin, our producer, is a big hot tea drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Michaela and I are coffee drinkers. So our first hit it or quit it, hot toddy. Or an Irish coffee. Is that whiskey in both of them?
I think it's just so, Bailey's yes. and Irish coffee.
Well, okay, so it could be Bailey's coffee. But you could do Irish cream. We'll leave that open.
Yeah.
We'll leave that open. Because I like Irish cream. Some people put straight up whiskey in their coffee, though, which is a traditional
Irish coffee. Irish whiskey, cream,
I'm more of a Bailey's guy. Yeah, whatever. So, hot toddy, Irish coffee. We put it on social media. Who responded? What were they saying? First of all, what do you think they're saying?
Well, I'm going to say for me, I'm a coffee girl, 100%. But when it comes to this, I'm hot toddy all the way.
Okay, so I'm going Irish coffee for sure, but I'm going Irish cream coffee. Unless I'm hosting an event and I need my voice to last, then I'm going hot toddy. But I'm an Irish coffee.
Also, hot toddies are so good before you go sing.
Yeah. Woo! How about you, Justin?
Oh, love me an hot toddy. But, oh, really?
But he's a tea guy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But then again, also, it's Irish coffee is really good. It's a toss-up for me. I kind of lean hot toddy.
Or also, another option, just... do a shot of whiskey. I like that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah, that's good. All right, what social media say?
59 to 41. Surprisingly, hot toddy wins it.
Really?
And it's not surprising to me.
Because
I'm a coffee girl. I'm not a tea girl at all. But there's something about a hot toddy. It's
nobody
so
goes
good
to Starbucks for tea. I mean, some people.
Nobody goes to Starbucks for alcohol.
But I'm saying coffee's more popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for alcohol, it tastes better with the tea. The whiskey and the cinnamon. Oh, my God. It's so good to me.
I just remember my brother-in-law, Jerry. I talked about him yesterday on the show. He lives in Kentucky.
Hey,
Jerry. Got me a bottle of really fancy Kentucky whiskey from a whiskey tour he did. He and his buddies bought a bourbon barrel and Kentucky bourbon.
I
called it whiskey. I should have said bourbon.
Jerry, I know what you look like. You're a 10 in Kentucky, and you're a 10 in Denver. I just wanted to say that.
Why Denver?
What city? What did
Denver's
he say?
Denver's very Cincinnati. Outdoorsy.
You're a 10 in Cincinnati.
He's definitely a 10 in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know it.
You're a hot piece, all right? So keep your head up, all right? You're my hot toddy, hot Jerry.
Because my very, very straight brother-in-law, well, pretty straight, who's married to my sister, told me one time, your co-host is kind of hot. So be careful, Michaela.
Be
careful what you wish for.
Okay, wait, hold on, Jerry. Kind of?
He drives a truck, but he also does interior design. He's a very complex man. Let's move on. Two of the stars of this political season, John King and the Magic Wall over on CNN. But this year, he had some stiff competition from a new LGBTQ plus icon, Steve Kornacki. Kind of a hottie. I'm not even lying. I'm into like a good old nerd every now and then. When he had that messy tousled hair and those glasses and that white button-down shirt and tie and the sleeves rolled up, Steve Kornacki.
Yeah, Steve Kornacki could get it.
Yeah, so I'm going all in on Steve Kornacki.
I am too. I'm gonna stand with Steve.
Justin, you all in on Steve?
I'm a Kornacki fan. What
okay.
can I say?
Yes.
What does social media say?
They're gonna agree.
This was close.
Really?
52-48.
Oh,
who?
God.
Who?
Kornacki pulls
okay.
it out.
Yes.
Wow.
Good.
Because, okay, here's the thing, though. John King didn't know this, though. John King used to be married. Do you know who he was married to?
You told me.
Dana Bash.
Yeah.
Political correspondent. You have no idea. Michaela's eyes are so glossed over right now. Dana Bash is a political correspondent. I believe she was a White House correspondent years ago, and they actually used to be married. They still work at CNN together. Also, little side note of interesting information, CNN won the week in the ratings, election week. They beat Fox News.
Hey, so, way to go,
shout
guys.
Shout out to our team. I love CNN. They're very diverse.
Yeah, I love CNN, too.
You know, Van Jones over there is fantastic as well. And obviously, Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper.
We did not put Van Jones in who could get it, hit it, or quit it.
He always get it.
But he could always get it. He's so handsome.
I interviewed him in person for the first time 5 or 6 years ago, maybe, before he really started to blow up. And I just remember thinking, anything you want, sir.
Yeah.
Anything.
Okay, this is a family show, so calm is down.
It? Since when?
Well, gay family. We Fair are enough. Family.
We are. You and I.
Wait, did you guys know this? Here's a fun fact, and then I'll get you to the break. Britney Spears, you just told me this, in her video, her love interest was played by her cousin, Chad Spears, her first cousin.
Did I not tell the story on air?
I did, but I wanted to bring it around again for family love style.
He's an Abercrombie & Fitch model.
And that was like the thing, that was okay, that was enough?
Back in 1998 or 9, I guess.
Okay, so she just couldn't find anyone else? Just had to go with Chad Spears?
She's keeping it in the family.
Okay, great. Good for her. Good for her. That's perfect.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. You know, Christmas is right around the corner. I know you're ready for it. But you know what else is right around the corner first?
What?
Thanksgiving.
Whatever.
Michaela Gordon, there is a holiday at hand. It's Thanksgiving. It is my second favorite holiday of the year.
Okay, but you can celebrate Thanksgiving with a Christmas tree up. It's been done before and it will be done again this year.
That's the great debate. I want our listeners to think about this. Is it too early to put your Christmas tree up? And if you have, did you put it up early this year because of the pandemic? Or are you one of those types that just puts it up right after Halloween?
Okay, well, I have a friend, Melinda Doolittle from American Idol.
I remember her.
She's kept her tree up for an entire year.
That's insane.
She put it up in December last year. Then she had it January, February. It was like riding it out. And then the pandemic hit. And she was like, you know what? I'm never taking this Christmas tree down. So she's had hers up.
Well, do you remember early on, I think in March, April, when the pandemic really started to happen, the stay-at-home order started coming down across the country. There were all sorts of stories. We cover them here on the show, on the Morning Beat, of people putting their Christmas decorations back up.
Yeah.
How wild was that? That people find such joy, because I think the reason we find such joy in it is because it's rare. We do it for a month or two out of the year, and it makes it special. Right? It's sort of that feeling you have in December when you're more generous with your time, your money, your gift giving, and it feels good. It always feels better to give than receive, right?
Yeah.
It's a true emotion.
Sometimes.
Well, yeah, maybe for normal humans.
I enjoy receiving gifts.
Normal humans we're talking about.
I love them.
Not you.
It's presents.
So, if you put it up in the springtime and leave it up, it takes away the specialness of
it
all,
does,
right?
And I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know if stores are doing it earlier than usual or what, but I went into my grocery store yesterday, and they've got all the Christmas decorations up.
Oh, honey.
All of them.
Grove
is putting the big Christmas tree up right now.
Yes. We went into a Home Depot or a Lowe's or one of those hardware stores probably early October. Early. It was 90-some degrees outside. And full on Christmas.
Yeah.
I documented them
on
my Instagram.
So then that goes to say, are you the one that's wrong when Grove and other places are already putting up their Christmas trees?
So I'm a Grinch now?
You are the Grinch.
No, they're doing it for commercial reasons. They're trying to get you to spend money early
because we don't know what's going to happen week by week, day by day.
No, but didn't they do it this early last year? No.
Probably.
Okay, so I'm definitely putting my tree up. When are you
are
putting
you
your tree? I'm putting it up today as we
my
speak.
My tree will go up the day after Thanksgiving, like it does every single year.
Oh, God. Okay, Justin, when are you putting your Christmas tree up?
Whenever Lauren wants to do it.
When does she want to do it?
She wanted to do it last weekend.
Okay, so obviously that is not the truth then,
the
so you just lied to us.
Justin.
I am on your side, AJ. I believe
Thank
that-
Thank you.
Everyone should put it up the day after Thanksgiving. Let Thanksgiving have its due.
Well, let me
and then enjoy Christmas till about middle of January.
Yeah, but people can't even have Thanksgiving this year.
Yes,
people can't go over.
Michaela, if people can't have Thanksgiving, they can't have Christmas. They can have Thanksgiving. You can have a small gathering.
No, you can have a small gathering, but it's not normal.
This is the year.
Thank you.
Listen,
that's fair.
In an Italian family, you're not having Thanksgiving.
So here's what I want to be
clear. There's like 30 people in your house.
I'm going to be clear about this. So just please let me talk for just a moment. You ready?
Thanksgiving. Just kidding.
Thanksgiving, the day that we celebrate the pilgrims and the Native Americans coming together in that imaginary dinner that never actually happened is very, very important to me as an American. I want to have my turkey. I want to have my cranberry sauce. I don't like either of them, but I want them on my plate so I can eat a little bit and say I had Thanksgiving. Then the next day, I will have my Christmas tree up. And here's where I'm willing to go a little bit further. I will keep my tree up until March. I've done it.
Why?
Because I love it. And it's a lot of work.
So you get through Valentine's Day with your tree still up? No, see, that's even more ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot of red bows.
You got a lot of room to judge, mister.
I kept my
can't put it up in November, but you want to keep it going through Valentine's?
My first year in Los Angeles, when I first met you 14 years ago, my sister and I had nothing. We had no furniture. We had a couple chairs from IKEA. We had mattresses on the floor. But we had Christmas decorations, and I wrapped every single picture frame as a Christmas present to fill out the.
I love it.
And it was the only time our apartment felt like it was furnished, so we just left it up
till
April.
So it's a home feeling for
April,
you.
Till April that first year.
So it's a feeling.
Absolutely.
I would like to play you something that you asked in the last break.
You're not playing the song for me, I know that.
Oh, yeah, he's playing it for you. Now, I would like to play another tune to take us out. Do we have that pulled up? AJ, you asked a very beautiful question. Do we have Christmas music that plays on this station? You bet we do, baby. You bet we do.
What is
and
this?
Here's a fine tune.
Who's this?
Take a moment. Take a moment. I thought you were going to go right to the chorus, but Justin didn't.
I didn't
Here
know you
go.
Wanted that.
Oh, God, that's Christina.
This is Christina Aguilera. What year was it, Justin?
I don't know.
Why did you know? Look at the computer.
Wait, it doesn't say.
When was the last year she was relevant? When was that?
I think it was when she did The Voice. That would have been in 2016.
Okay. A lot has changed since then.
Welcome to Channel Q, The Morning Beat, where you can hear Christmas music, have a laugh, and put your tree up today.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us each and every day. If you ever miss an episode or you can't listen to us in real time because, let's face it, not a lot of people drive into work early in the morning anymore, so we have an option for you. You can listen to us as a podcast.
Yeah.
The show gets turned into a podcast every day as soon as we go off the air. So download the radio.com app, listen to The Morning Beat anywhere you take your mobile device. Now, for What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us?
Okay, so I love this. I love Teresa Giudice. Obviously very much because she's a Jersey housewife and she's Italian and her daughters are all gorgeous and she's even part of the mafia because she had to go to prison for a crime she committed along with her ex-husband. But when Joe Giudice got out of prison, her now ex-husband, he had to move back to Italy, as we know. And then we were wondering if they were going to get back together. And they ended up not getting back together. And now a year after the separation, photos have surfaced of Teresa Giudice with a new lover. She has a new boyfriend. And his name is Louis. He's, I'm assuming, Italian, to stick with the culture.
Sounds
and,
like it.
Yeah, right? And he's handsome. But I will say he looks exactly like Joe Giudice, so that's kind of strange to me. But people were worried about that the hot-headed ex-husband, but he came out and said, no, I'm super happy for Teresa. You know, I didn't necessarily want to have a divorce from my wife, but you have to imagine, they're in Jersey, I'm in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a long-distance relationship.
I don't believe she and her girls have even seen him since he was initially released and sent back to Italy. They documented it on the show last year, and it's been like a year because of COVID.
They did. They actually have Gia and Melania.
Oh, two of them
are in Italy as we speak.
Right now?
Visiting.
Wow.
Yeah, and the other two girls stayed home.
They had such restrictions in Italy for so long.
Yeah.
Because they were locked down hardcore that nobody could come or go.
Totally. Well, wow. The two girls are there now, and he says, listen, I just want all my girls to be happy, including Teresa, if this is what makes her happy. And Teresa looks good. You know, she's dealt with a lot of loss. First, her ex-husband. Then she lost her father this year. She lost her mother, I believe, last year. So it's been a lot for her. She's raising those four girls by herself.
Well, she lost her mother a couple years ago.
Was it
because,
a couple?
Remember, it was while she was in prison. And she had so much resentment towards Joe for taking that time away from her and her
that's
mother. And
right.
She lost,
that's right. That's yeah. right. That's right.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, my God. You're right. Well, I'm happy that she's moved on and she's happy. Now, coming up, it's Veterans Day. And we're so excited that Denny Meyer from American Veterans for Equal Rights joins us next to talk about the importance of Veterans Day. Also, shout out to my sister-in-law. She's a little veteran, 4'11", but tough as nails. We'll have that coming up next.
Coming up in this final hour, in about 15 minutes from right now, we're joined by Denny Meyer. He is an American veteran who served our country, and he's joining us for Veterans Day. We talked to him a few months ago, towards the beginning of, I believe, of this pandemic, around, I think it was actually Memorial Day weekend, perhaps, and he's just such an inspirational guy, has a lot to share, and we're so excited to share him with you in 15 minutes from right now. But before we get there, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. There's a lot going on, obviously, in the news with Donald Trump particularly. President Trump's refusal to concede the 2020 election continues with the support of top Republicans and others in his administration. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday would not acknowledge Joe Biden's victory, even as America's closest allies congratulated the president-elect.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration.
Now, the Trump administration is also carrying out sweeping changes at the Defense Department. Four senior civilian officials have been fired or have resigned since Monday, and they've been replaced with people seen as loyal to Trump. The actions have raised alarms inside the Pentagon, with one defense official calling them dictator moves, something that, AJ, you've been saying since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Despite those efforts, Biden is moving ahead, announcing his transition teams. I'm glad that Biden's moving ahead and not letting this get to him or slow him down.
Well, he's a boss, and the good thing about a Biden president is he's the only person in our country who could have taken that office and gotten this win mm-hmm. and stepped into the White House mm-hmm. with no transition, really, essentially, and been ready for the job on day one. He knows it.
Yeah.
He's done it. He's been a part of it. So that gives me some solace. It's just wild what's happening right now, though.
Yeah, I agree.
It's scary stuff.
I agree. All right, in other news, it looks like most of Obamacare might remain intact after all. The Supreme Court appeared poised to reject the latest Republican-backed attempt to kill the landmark health reform law based on the justice's tone during oral arguments. Now, Chief Justice John Roberts, who famously saved the ACA in 2012, and Justice Brett Kavanaugh
Are you triggered?
Yeah, it just gets my nerves.
I hear you.
I hate it. Listen, I did not like watching him even getting questioned. It was just so smuggy, smirky the whole time. Mm. And I could never unsee it. He suggested that it wasn't the Supreme Court's place to invalidate the entire law. It's the third time the court has heard a significant challenge to the law. And it seems like Roberts is so over it.
I think it's hard for you to argue that Congress intended the entire act to fall if the mandate were struck down when the same Congress that lowered the penalty to zero did not even try to repeal the rest of the act.
Enough.
Chief Justice John Roberts is over it.
Yeah, he is over it. Oh, about 20 million people have gained coverage on the Affordable Care Act exchanges and through the expansion of Medicaid to low-income adults. It's a big deal. So, good news.
That is good news. And it sounds like they're going to keep that coverage.
Yeah, and that's good news, too. The fact that it's even in question is not good news.
Yeah. When that's you appoint three justices to the Supreme Court and they're still saying, well, this is ridiculous. You guys aren't bringing us anything new.
No, stop.
It's not our job.
We got bigger things, bigger fish to fry. All right, let's get into weather. It's going to be a high of 55 in Cleveland, 55 in St. Louis, a high of 66 in Pittsburgh, and 84 in Norfolk. 84 in Norfolk. Way to go.
Virginia?
Is that where your sister lives?
She's in that area. She's like Virginia Beach. I'm not sure how close that actually is.
Yeah, well, it might be 84 for her today. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate. I, myself, choose to fight for positivity.
I love
it. Not everybody is the same.
No, they're not. But we are here at Channel Q, me and you, baby. Now, coming up, another very positive story. Diddy Meyer from American Veterans for Equal Rights is joining us. Today is Veterans Day. He's a part of the community, and we want to give him a voice coming up in 2 minutes.
As we continue to celebrate our service members, both past and present on this Veterans Day, we'd like to take a moment to bring back somebody really special who we spoke with last spring, who's doing something fantastic for veterans. Please welcome Denny Meyer to the program from the American Veterans for Equal Rights Association. Thank you so much, Denny, for being here again.
Welcome back, Denny boy.
Glad to see you. Glad to speak with you.
So on this Veterans Day, first and foremost, what does this day mean to you?
Oh, boy. It's, well, it's supposedly a thank you for service. I served during and after Vietnam for 10 years. So when we came back from Vietnam, nobody thanked us. And nowadays, when us 70-plus grumpy old veterans are standing in front of the VA smoking, and young people walk by and see our veterans' hats and say, thank you for serving, we're prone to curse at them. But anyway, it's a little bit late, but it's supposed to be a day of awareness and visibility and thanking veterans. So that's what it is, and everybody's congratulating each other, mostly from veteran to veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hear very little from other people. And, of course, our government is involved in a coup. So.
Wow.
You know, Denny, I think that what's incredible is that it is truly only an experience that you share with other veterans to really understand what it is you saw and dealt with, but also as a member of the community. I know we discussed this before, but for some of our new listeners or somebody that might have missed it, how was that experience for you?
Well, as a gay person, it was double trauma.
You're gay? I'm just
what?
Kidding.
Well, that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I thought maybe I had a wrong number here.
Oh, no. I'm just sarcastic.
So, as a gay person, during and after Vietnam, and actually from World War II to 2011, it was just totally illegal to be gay in the military. We weren't wanted. It was worse, if I dare say so, than segregation, which occurred in our military until Korea. And you were a second-class citizen, but in the case of being gay, you were just totally forbidden. Nobody wanted you. And it was assumed that we weren't there. And for every day of 10 years of service, I had to listen to crude jokes and comments about what somebody would do if he ever found a queer and how he would kill me. And I not only had to keep my mouth shut because if I said one word, they would suspect I was gay and murder me and get away with it. And so I not only had to keep my mouth shut, I had to laugh crudely with everybody else and pretending that I was in on the joke. And the person who was speaking never knew that the guy he was talking about was standing right next to him. If you go through that for 10 years, you do get PTSD because you end up being hypervigilant. So.
But Denny, you've turned that around, though, and thank you so much for sharing that. I can't even imagine. I think all of us in the community can maybe relate on some small level, but to go through something like that for an entire decade, I can't even wrap my brain around that. So thank you for your service in spite of it all, if nobody's told you that recently.
Yeah.
But you now work with LGBT veterans across the country to support them in ways that maybe were not available to them in years past. How are you doing that?
Well, so I'm the National Veterans Affairs Officer, as well as public affairs officer. And LGBT veterans from across the country call in or send emails asking for advice. And they're quite used to not trusting ordinary people that they're talking to, because they're quite used to running into prejudice and being dismissed as a piece of garbage. And so it's quite a surprise and helpful to be able to talk to the old gay sergeant who's on their side and who's listening and isn't shocked. Quite the contrary, I'm supportive. And when people call me, I actually spend almost an hour talking with each person. And the reason I can do that is that I'm not paid. If I were being paid, I'd have less than 5 minutes. But anyway, and we direct them to various services. We don't have much service of our own that we can directly provide. But I've got all the resources in my head. Lawyers and doctors and LGBT program coordinators at the VA and so on. So,
you sound like a bit of a connector is what you sound like. You connect people basically, to the right resources. Yeah. I love that. And you also raise all the way up to the rank of sergeant, you said?
Oof.
Well, I was a sergeant first class, which is 7 steps up.
Well, yes. That's quite impressive.
That's incredible, though. I think that's amazing. And to know that you did that while being a part of the community so many years ago.
Well, I never got caught.
Well.
So you're a sneaky guy. Denny. That's what you're doing? Well, I would like to talk to you very quickly before we let you go on how, if people don't know of your services that you continue to do, how people can get in touch with the American Veterans for Equal Rights.
Okay, so American Veterans for Equal Rights is the nation's LGBT Veteran Service Organization. And online we are at aver.us, aver.us, as in American Veterans Equal Rights. So there's that. And from there you can get a phone number to call me as well. Best to email, but we are not an emergency service, so.
But all the information is there at aver.us. Really quickly before we let you go, Denny.
Yes, and also,
yes,
to put on the plug, I'm also the Veterans Affairs Officer for Transgender American Veterans Association.
Good for you.
Which focuses exclusively on the needs and benefits of transgender service members and veterans. And that is located at transveteran.org, TransVeteran.org.
You know, Denny, I want to ask you, Joe Biden, in a speech that he gave just last week, I believe, mentioned trans people, mentioned an experience he had with a mother of a trans person. Having seen all the things that you've seen, how was it to see the president-elect really talk so openly about trans people?
I'll use an abbreviation, ABFT. It's about time.
Yes.
Look, Joe Biden is simply expanding on what Barack Obama did. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama gave us all our rights, and by executive order, gave transgender the same rights in the military and as veterans, and, of course, even to transgender youth in schools, the right to use the bathroom of their proper bathroom for themselves and so on. He did all that. The current administration reversed all that, going back to the Stone Age, and I think Joe Biden is simply making sure to tell everybody what he's going to do on day one, I believe is what he was saying,
mm-hmm.
by executive order to reverse all the evil that's been put forth by the current administration.
Festering our country. Denny Meyer, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for all you're doing with the American Veterans for Equal Rights Association and for just taking the time to call in. Hopefully Joe Biden has the opportunity to continue to move the ball forward down the court. It's going to be a wild couple of months, but I'm sure you'll be paying attention right along with us. So
absolutely.
Stay safe.
Thank you, Denny.
Thank you.
Now coming up, the LGBTQ community made some significant gains on Election Day, and we're celebrating them with our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate, in Red, White, and Q, coming up next.
Tell me something good.
We'll tell you something good. We're going to send you off into your day with a little bit of love and hope in your heart.
So a mom and daughter are right now are raising funds to pay for the wedding of the hero who saved them from drowning. So this mom and her 10-year-old daughter, Haley, were at a beach in Monterey, California, which is a little bit north of us, a few hours. It's where Big Little Lies takes place. So if you've seen the scenic, it's gorgeous up there. It's one of the most beautiful parts of California. She's calling out to her mom, Samantha, because she's swimming in the water, and all of a sudden the riptide starts to pull her out. And her mom's trying to save her. They're both going to drown. And apparently, a guy by the name of Kevin, he was fortunately at the beach at the same time, heard the mother and her daughter yelling for help. And he says, I've been swimming since I was 3 years old competitively, so I felt like I could get to them. I ran out there. As soon as I got to the mom, I knew she was struggling. He was able to rescue them both. And turns out, he's trying to get married right now. So they reconnected on social media. And now she and her daughter have started a GoFundMe page to raise money to give Kevin the wedding of his dream because Kevin saved their lives.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So awesome.
That's so sweet.
I'm that guy too because I was a competitive swimmer for many years. In my mind, I can always handle it's not true, but in my mind, I would try to save anybody if I saw them drowning.
You absolutely would. You also wrote that in your book and then you said I looked cute in a Speedo. That's why I did it and I still do. And I think I laughed for 5 minutes.
I did write that. I do look cute in a Speedo though.
Yeah. You love yourself.
I've got a nice butt.
We love to see it. All right. Well, this story is amazing. As we know, Alzheimer's is a disease that deteriorates memory over time and varies from person to person. It's so devastating, especially if you have a loved one that is suffering from this disease. But a beautiful video just went viral of Marta Gonzalez. She was a former prima ballerina.
Which explains the Swan Lake playing right now.
Which explains what's playing right now. And when they played her Swan Lake... it was incredible because she started doing the choreography that was so deeply embedded in her. It went viral. The video has been viewed 1.3 million times and nearly 650,000 times on YouTube. And it was just a very emotional moment, I think, for so many people to just see how deeply the arts lives within us and how important it is. And it was so beautiful. If you have the chance to see it, do
Justin,
go see
can
that.
We get that video on our We Are Channel Q? Can we do that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so head over to wearechannelq.com to watch that video. It is really, really touching. Now, speaking of another person in their later years in life, a 95-year-old World War II veteran, perfect time for this story today on Veterans Day, instead of being put in a nursing home, his grandson brings him on an epic bucket list RV trip, like in a motorhome. How cool is this?
That's cool.
So his name's Johnny Demas. He lost his full-time caregiver and wife of 67 years. Can you imagine being married to somebody for 67 years?
No.
You and I are approaching our one-year work anniversary, and I'm exhausted.
I've never been happier.
67 years. Didn't have a lot of options. So his grandson, Roger, devised a plan. He moved Grandpa Johnny from Illinois to live with Roger and his wife, Jo, in Sedona, Arizona, 2 years ago. And last October, they decided to embark on an epic journey around the USA in their motorhome, visiting all the places on their grandfather's bucket list. One of those places, Mardi Gras, another your home city of Las Vegas.
Come through!
He'd always wanted to go to Vegas, so they've been traveling the entire country and documenting it on their social media. This RV is kind of dope. His grandpa's in a wheelchair. The guy's 95 years old. But I just think it's so incredible to be able to give something to somebody who's given so much back to his country and his family for so many years.
Absolutely.
And to be young and like, I'm going to put my life and my family's lives on hold and actually probably enrich them in the process to help my grandfather. I think it's really awesome.
I think that's amazing. Well, that is the end of our show. We give you with some of the best news ever. Thank you as always for tuning in. And it's your hump week, so make the most of it. We're almost to Friday.
Hump week?
Hump day.
It's hump day. It's Wednesday. Calm down.
Why did I say hump week?
I don't know.
I think I'm still thinking of that Kimberly Guilfoyle story.
Well, it is sort of the middle week of the month. There you go.
Yeah, thank you. Positive spin. Have at it. all right. Now, I don't know what that means. Oh, Justin's giving us a sign. Therapy Thursdays. Oh, this is good. This is good for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people, we just saw an article that 52% of people have moved back in
under the age
with
of 30,
their parents.
I think. Yeah.
Under the age of 30 because of the pandemic. That's a whole thing to unpack. Mm-mm. And we will do that tomorrow. Wash your hands, wear your masks, stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.